Hey, this is Pastor Jay, and you're listening to the Daily Sabbath Podcast. All right, welcome to the Daily Sabbath Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Pastor Jay, and I want you to take a second and listen to this sound. Now, it should be a familiar sound, but also maybe one that we take for granted. It's the sound of fresh drinking water. And as we're going to talk about today, there are actually many people living in the world today, right now, for which that is kind of a rare and precious sound. And so today we're going to be talking about the global water crisis and how some people are helping to defeat this crisis one marathon at a time. And so my guest today is Dave Martin. He is a music teacher and an educator of 31 years living out in Southern California, my neck of the woods. And he's also a bit of a superhero who's been working with World Vision for a number of years to help combat the ongoing global water crisis. So, Dave, thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Well, hey, Jay, thanks for having me. I balk at the superhero kind of description. I think what I do is just gather people around and we build community and we're all kind of heroes together, but we'll get to that.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I'm really excited for you to be able to share kind of more about the water crisis and the work that you guys are doing through World Vision. Now, so Dave, let's just jump right into it. First question I have for you is just how did you first come to be aware of this issue and get involved?
Well, It's a little bit of a roundabout story, but it starts with being a father of daughters. And that's one thing that we have in common. my girls are all in their 20s. They're older than yours. But I think being a father of daughters and just the dreams that we have for those girls, for having an education, for living a life of purpose, and realizing that in a lot of parts of the world, girls don't have those same opportunities. Mm. They aren't expected to go to school, or school is a luxury, and it's something that the family can't afford because they need the girl to be at home taking care of sisters or siblings or collecting water. So just that's part of my heart is just a heart for girls and for the opportunities that they deserve to live the fullness of life in whatever they want to do and become. And the other part you just mentioned, being a teacher, I teach music, but really music is, and I've always felt this way, music is a conduit for community. The music is great. I receive a lot of joy making music with kids, but really at the end of the day, the music is a conduit for the relationships that are formed, the friendships that are formed, the skills that are learned. And so it's that value in investing in children. So every minute of positive input into a kid is something that's going to pay off. And that's sort of a legacy that lasts well beyond our lifetimes. So yeah, just between my heart for girls specifically and children in general, and just, you know, what they deserve, that kind of informs kind of where I came to the issue.
Interesting. Okay. So it sounds like there is a connection then between this water crisis that we're talking about and sort of the conditions of children living around the world. And I remember, you know, before we started this interview, you were sharing a little bit about what you were calling sort of the child labor crisis. Yeah. And so could you kind of maybe like pull apart for us, like what is the connection between these two things?
Yeah, that was sort of the next piece of the puzzle. It was 2008. A bunch of us from church went out to see a documentary called Call and Response, and fantastic film. And I think a lot of us were kind of blown away that this whole thing is happening and we just weren't aware of it. And it was just a documentary that shone a light on human trafficking in general, but especially forced labor for children, whether they're working in a factory or domestic labor or prostitution or as child soldiers. That was a moment where I just decided that's the thing that I can't just shrug my shoulders and say, well, that's too bad. I have to figure out some way of responding to that. And so I got involved in a number of charities that are kind of focused on fair trade, human trafficking, and a lot of them are doing a lot of great work. But I kind of discovered that when you get to the bottom of that crisis, you get to poverty. The cause of human trafficking is poverty. Kids are sold into labor because their parents can't afford to take care of them, or they're vulnerable because of a number of reasons. So, and the next thing that I learned is that the key to fighting poverty is water. So that's how I came around to the issue of the water crisis. If there was one silver bullet to tackle poverty, it would be water. At least it would start with water. Couple of statistics I gathered. Still now, in 2024, 1,000 children under five die every day due to contaminated water. It's dysentery, diarrhea, malnutrition. So that statistic is still happening. There are currently 703 million people that lack access to basic drinking water. That number has decreased quite a bit because there are a lot of people that are working on that, but that's still 703 million people is still a lot. Another statistic, women and girls spend 200 million hours a day hauling water, just transporting water in jerry cans from a source that is probably polluted. So that is every bit as much of a crisis as the things that are on the news that we see every day. It's just that this is a endemic situation that doesn't always get the publicity that it deserves.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty sobering. Well, first of all, thanks for sharing those statistics, because I think that is one question that I did have, because I feel like I have been hearing about sort of the global water crisis for a pretty good number of years now. I think probably my first exposure to it was even 10 to 15 years ago. And, you know, I remember for a while that was a kind of a big topic in terms of, like, if you were hearing about some sort of a, you know, like a charity to get involved with or something like that in church or in other places, it felt like, you know, digging water wells and things like that was, you know, it was being talked about a lot for for a while. And so, yeah, I did sort of have the question of, like, okay, you know, it's been a number of years, like, have we made any progress? And so, you know, I mean, it's helpful to hear that the number has gone down for sure. You know, there are organizations that are working on it and the number is going down, but it's still as high as 700 million people who don't have access to regular fresh drinking water. So that's, yeah, it's definitely pretty sobering. And thanks also for kind of making that connection. So it sounds like, and, you know, you can kind of correct me if I'm wrong, but it kind of sounds like one of the connections then between sort of the child labor crisis or just the poverty crisis globally and the water crisis is, for some people, they're spending a lot of their day just getting the family access to water. Could you maybe kind of explain that a little bit more?
Yeah. And like I said, it's often girls and women and even young kids. But yeah, if their family needs water, that becomes a priority. So a couple of times a day, the average distance that they walk is 6 kilometers, a little over 3 miles round trip to get to the source of water.
Yeah.
So if they're doing that, if they're doing a 6K walk twice a day, then that rules out a lot of school. But it's not just the time spent getting the water. It's also if they get sick, if they have a stomach ache because there was, you know, animal something in the water, they'll miss school. And what World Vision does is addressing the solution in terms of the acronym WASH, which stands for water, sanitation, and hygiene. So if you don't have access to water, you're not able to wash your hands. You don't have healthcare facilities that have hand washing stations. Girls aren't able to go to school during their period. Yeah. And if you don't have bathrooms at the school, you know, you don't have the ability to take care of that in a hygienic sort of way. So all that's kind of tied in.
I mean, that makes sense. When you kind of pull it apart and explain it, it kind of makes sense how water, and specifically having a lack of access to clean water, it's not just about being thirsty. I mean, though, that obviously that's crucial. We need to have enough drinking water to survive. but it touches so many different other areas of our lives.
Right.
I think I've never really even considered the fact that, hey, you know, if you don't have clean water, you know, your hospitals and, you know, being able to sanitize, right? Like when somebody has a medical emergency or needs a right. surgery or something like that, but, you know, even the doctors don't have the ability to sanitize their hands properly,
right.
you know, and getting sick so often because you don't mm-hmm. have access to that kind of hygiene, and how that also impacts your ability to flourish and, yeah, to get educated, to work, to accomplish all the things that you want to accomplish.
Yeah. Matthew 25, 31 to 46 is that story of the sheep and the goats. And mm-hmm. maybe it's intentional that Jesus mentions, you know, Lord, when was it I saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And he really puts it in unequivocal terms that somehow that act of providing food and water to people that need it is something that makes a difference between those who are mm-hmm. part of the kingdom of God and not. So yeah. it's just another thing that kind of makes me, yeah, we can't just not do anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the other thing that you said that really struck me is, you know, because I tend to be a very kind of like systematic thinker. And in mm-hmm. fact, my day job is in operations, right? So we really think about efficiency and systems and, you know, but what's the most logical and the most efficient and most effective way to, you know, address a problem or to get something done. And so something that I appreciate also about what you said there is it's not just that you're thinking about the water problem, but yeah, just it's very strategic in that if you want to address these different issues of human trafficking, poverty, in particular, opportunities for women and girls around the world. Well, one way you can address all of those issues
yeah.
is by addressing the water crisis. And so, I don't know, that speaks to me just as sort of like this systems and operational person. Like, yeah, if you can get to a root problem, to this upstream problem that's yes. going to have an effect on all these downstream things, like that's the best place yes. to start. And
pun
so,
intended.
Yeah.
No yeah. pun intended.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Pun intended. And so I really appreciate just sort of even just sort of the logic of it, right? Because, yeah. you know, we don't want to just be sentimental and it's like, okay, I'm going to throw my money and my energy into yes. something to make myself feel good. But actually, what is the most effective thing that we can do?
Right.
And what is the most
right.
effective thing that we can throw our time and our energy and our money and resources into? So mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah. And it's not the most glamorous thing. And, you know, when I first heard about children being abducted as soldiers, you know, I just wanted to go after that guy that was abducting the soldiers. It's like, yeah. you just want to chase that guy down and bring him to justice. It would be very exciting, but it wouldn't be tackling the root mm-hmm. causes, and it would be very inefficient.
Yeah. Now, could you tell us a little bit more about World Vision? First of all, is this World Vision, is this the same organization that has like the sponsoring a child?
Yes.
Is that yep. the same? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you wouldn't mind telling us a little bit more about World Vision and like, how did you get connected with World Vision?
Yeah. I'm going to quote their language because, and just to be clear, I'm just a volunteer with World Vision. I'm not on staff or anything, mm-hmm. but they're a Christian humanitarian organization dedicated to working with children, families, and their communities worldwide to reach their full potential by tackling the causes of poverty and injustice.
Okay.
The organization was started in the 1950s by a Baptist pastor named Bob Pierce, and he kind of invented that whole idea of child sponsorship, and he was mm-hmm. getting people to sponsor Korean War orphans in the early 50s.
Oh, wow.
And that was one of the, sort of the first things they did. But World Vision is currently reaching 3.5 million kids in almost 100 countries.
Wow.
I first heard about World Vision in college in the mid 80s. A friend of mine, actually his dad worked, was on staff of World Vision, and the worship team I was on in college went and we played at the World Vision Chapel service on a Wednesday morning. Then later, we had each of them sponsor a child that was about the same age as them and felt like that was a really good way for them to sort of see the world, you know, just in a way mm-hmm. that they could kind of take in by interacting with the kid. And then 2015 was when I got involved in Team World Vision. I'll get back to that later. Mm-hmm. I think what I appreciate about the organization World Vision is that they've been doing it so long that they've really figured out how to do development work that's sustainable and effective. Mm-hmm. They go into community, they get buy-in, they actually, a good percentage, I think it's about 90% of World Vision staff is local people on the ground from that community. So the leadership is local. Mm-hmm. And as far as when they enter a community, there's from the beginning, there's an exit strategy. You know, they allow the community members to figure out what they need and they work on equipping them with that and then leaving the community. And usually that's a 10 to 15 year process. So they're not there forever. But it's also not like, we're going to visit you during the summer and build a building and then forget about you. And then that building will collapse, you know. So it's sustainable.
Yeah. It's not like the sort of like short-term missions trip model of things. Those are all things that I did not know about World Vision, but that definitely makes me kind of feel good about their model and what they're doing out there.
Another thing I appreciate is that they're very clearly a Christian organization, but they don't require that people that are benefiting from their services become Christian. So they're actually welcome in a lot of countries that are predominantly Muslim or might otherwise be kind of resistant to missionaries.
Yeah.
And then water is a big part of what they do. World Vision is the largest non-governmental provider of clean water in the world.
Oh, wow.
They reach a new person with clean water every 10 seconds.
That's amazing.
So they've been doing a lot and they know how to do it.
That's great. So like you said, you're not on staff for World Vision, but you're a part of this thing called Team World Vision, and you guys specifically are focusing on water. So can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah. Team World Vision started in 2005, the Chicago Marathon. It's just a fundraising arm of World Vision. It's just a bunch of volunteers that run endurance events and then raise money and awareness for World Vision and specifically for water. Uh-huh. And the question is, what is the connection between marathons and sorry, I'm stealing your question, but
no,
but yeah,
okay.
What's the connection between running a marathon and water? And the answer is there isn't really, but doing a big event like a marathon is something that attracts people's attention. And so, it grabs attention. And a lot of other charities do endurance event fundraisers. What I've found is that the more important thing is that the marathon becomes a conduit for community. The same way music is a conduit for community in my classroom, the running becomes a conduit for people to gather and experience community. The donors, the sponsors, the runners, and the people that are receiving the benefit of the water is sort of this big, this big amazing thing.
Now, so all of the runners then for Team World Vision then are also just like volunteers like yourself who just volunteer to, hey, I wanna be a part of this run that Team World Vision is doing.
Yeah.
Can anybody join that?
Anybody can. You can go to teamworldvision.org. You can find a race in your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. I've seen people healed of emotional baggage. I've seen churches that were kind of on the verge of dying become renewed and revitalized because a lot of people in the church just sort of rallied around this this cause. So there's definitely transformation that happens in the runners and around the runners, not just the people that are getting water.
I mean, I feel like there's a lot of people just in general who, they look to running, or they get into running as a way to kind of like, you know, address their physical health, but also a lot of times, I think you're right. Like a lot of times people, you know, they get into running and it is sort of like a very like spiritual, emotional, you know, mental health sort of a thing for them. And and so it's awesome that that's a way that people could either as a solo person or even as a group or as even as a church, they could, you know, get together and be a part of doing something like this and also, you know, raising money for the water crisis. That's cool.
Yeah. And Team World Vision loves people that have never run before. So for anyone
okay,
that
so you don't have to be of a certain skill level to
at
do it.
All. You can be a walker. You can be a run walker. You can be a couch to 5K type person. Really, those are some of the people that have the most compelling story to share and sort of the most significant experience. For me, I was a runner before I discovered Team World Vision, but when I started in 2015, it just so happened that the church I was a part of had suddenly closed its doors. And I was about to start a team in the church. And when that happened, I just got some friends together and we made our own, their own team. But really those Saturday morning group runs for that little stretch of time, that was my church. That was my Saturday morning church. And it sort of got me through what was a pretty difficult time. You know, it's just got me thinking how a community of people that care about each other and live out their calling together and serve, minister together in Jesus' name. I mean, that's church. So, and that's definitely what it was for me.
Now, just out of curiosity, like I'm just kind of thinking through how it works. Like, let's say I do go find like a run that's happening locally and I decide to sign up and it's just me. Because it sounds like, you know, you got a group of people together and you guys train together. Like if I just sign up for a run by myself, will there be some sort of like organization of like team practices? I don't, practice is probably not the right word. Team training runs along the way facilitated by the Team World Vision, or is it just kind of on you?
Yeah, there's a tab on the Team World Vision website where you can find a group run, and there are hundreds of group runs across the country. I have this statistic. In 2023, Team World Vision had 32 events with 5,484 participants from churches and teams. And those 5,000 plus people raised $7.7 million, providing clean water to 155,000 people and sponsoring 1,396 children. So it's a pretty significant impact. But the fact that you've got so many people across the country, you're going to find, you know, I would recommend finding a team or getting your church involved and doing it together.
Now, just out of curiosity, how many years have you been involved with Team World Vision and how many runs have you personally been involved in?
I started in 2015 and the London Marathon will be my 11th event with Team World Vision.
Wow, 11. Whenever I think of long distance running, I'm just always amazed by people who run marathons. Like I've always been like an athletic person and I grew up playing a lot of sports, but endurance and long distance running have always been my Achilles heels. And so when I think of somebody running a marathon and you know, just because you volunteer doesn't mean you have to do a full marathon, right? You could do like a 5K or something like that. But yeah, just when I think of people running marathons, it's just incredible to me, which is why I kind of said at the beginning that you're kind of a bit of a superhero to me, like to that you've done this so many times and raised so much money. Have you been able to actually like sit down and like quantify how much money you've been able to raise?
Yeah. And just to speak to your, I go back to anybody can learn to play an instrument and anybody can run a marathon. It's just putting in the time and being consistent. So absolutely. But yeah, in terms of my impact, as of today, I've raised $45,822 since 2015. So that translates to 916 kids getting water.
Actually, can you break that down? Like, so how do you get to that 916 kids getting water?
Yeah, so World Vision is just has a pretty rough but pretty accurate estimate that $50 will supply water to one person for their lifetime. $50. And then that person, that kid is going to school, they're healthy, they have a future ahead of them just for $50. Yeah. So yeah, World Vision has so many different solutions to water, depending on where they are. They build dams, pipelines, wells, rain catchment systems, water kiosks. So you can't really say, well, here's how much it is to build a well, and that gets complicated. But $50, one person.
Wow, that is just Yeah, I mean, it's shocking and just, yeah, sobering to think that only $50 would provide drinking water for a person for their entire life. That's crazy. Yeah, I mean, it just really makes you think about, like, yeah, I mean, I think sometimes it's easy for us to maybe sit back and kind of complain about the suffering of people in the world, and maybe we can, you know, blame different people. Maybe we can even blame God. But to realize, man, alleviating the suffering, you know, not everything, but there's a lot of suffering that is so tangibly within our reach to be able to address. I mean, $50 for a lifetime of drinking water is just, that blows my mind, honestly. Yeah.
So there is hope. World Vision has a goal of reaching 30 million more people with water by 2030. And they're tracking the progress with this campaign they're calling Finish the Job. The first country to finish was Rwanda. Rwanda currently, everyone in Rwanda that lives where World Vision has a project has access to water. So for all intents and purposes, the water crisis is over in the country of Rwanda. The next country on the list is Zambia, which is on course to have complete access to water by 2025. And Honduras is next, 2027. So yeah, it is really encouraging to see progress being made on a country by country scale. Yeah.
No, yeah, that is really encouraging to hear. Like, it's not just like this endless thing where we're not making any progress and there's no end in sight, but actually they are seeing countries actually be able to say, hey, you know, the crisis is over here.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. So you did mention London. So you said London is your next marathon. And I personally know from talking to you that London is sort of your grand finale in terms of your runs with Team World Vision. So I would love for you just to share a little bit about London and also some of the goals that you have for London. And in particular, you know, what are some ways that we can kind of come alongside you and support you in this?
Yeah, it's, I mean, come on, I'm a Beatles fan. I'm a musician. London just has a lot of, you know, it's just a place that is close to my heart, even though I've never been there before. So I'm just really excited to be able to run through the streets of London for 4.5 hours and just experience the city in that way. But really, I'm just humbled to be a part of this team of 24. It's just 24 of us, Team World Vision people, that have been invited to participate in this event. So it being such an epic event, I'm setting an epic goal of $1,000 raised for each mile run. So that's $26,200. Which is huge, and I won't I won't do it without a lot of help from a lot of friends, and so definitely want to invite your listeners to just come alongside and be a part of the solution to the water crisis. My team of 24, of which I am a part, our goal is to raise $450,000 with this event, and at this time of taping, we're about a third of the way there already, which and we still have 17 weeks to go. So I'm super impressed and kind of blown away with just the high caliber of these people. I'm inspired.
Okay. So yeah, you've got some lofty goals set, but you know, it seems like you guys are making good progress and you know, I definitely want to invite everybody who is listening. I know that you guys are just meeting Dave, probably a lot of you guys, but just to see the work that he's been involved in and the good work that World Vision is doing, and just, $50 to provide clean drinking water for a person for their entire life. And so definitely want to encourage you guys to get involved. Like if people did want to help donate or sponsor you, what would be the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, so I put together a tiny URL, so hopefully this is easy to hear on a podcast, but I know you'll put a link in show notes. tinyurl.com/DaveRunsForWater. All one word, capital D, Dave Runs for Water. That'll take you to my page, and you just click on the button that says support me. Super easy.
Yeah. Okay. And yeah, we will definitely provide that link in the show notes. So make sure you guys go there. Shoot, you can leave the episode right now and go there if you have it on your heart to donate. Yeah. Come back and finish the episode later. But so I think right now, at the time of airing, it should be the beginning of February. And so I want to encourage you guys to donate right away, because the Dave, when is the marathon in London?
It's April. Early April.
Okay. So it's coming up. It's coming up quick. And so we want to encourage you guys actually to donate by February 29th, if possible. And I think actually, Dave, you had a little bit of an incentive for our Daily Sabbath listeners to donate. Do you want to share about that?
Yeah. And just echo, do it now, because I know I'm exactly the same way. I'll forget about it as soon as I put my phone down. So yeah, go ahead and pick up that phone, follow the link. I have three copies of this amazing book, Running for My Life by Lopez Lomong. Lopez is a U.S. Olympic runner. He's also a partner of World Vision, but he has an amazing story that's shared in this book of how he was abducted to be a child soldier in Sudan and escaped and made it to the United States and became an Olympic superstar. So I have three copies of the book. For any of your listeners that donate by February 29th, I'll randomly pick three winners, send them a copy of the book.
All right. So make sure you guys go to the link to donate. And when you make the donation in the comment section of the donation, make sure you mention Daily Sabbath. You could just put Daily Sabbath. You don't have to write a sentence or anything like that. And then after February 29th, Dave will randomly select three of you guys to receive a copy of this book. And Dave, I mean, I know we've been talking about $50, but is there any actually like limit in terms of donations, like minimums or maximums or anything like that?
No. Could be $1, it could be $10,000.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, you know, whatever amount you have within your means and in your heart to donate, even if it's $5, every bit helps. But, you know, if you have it within yourself to be even more generous, I'm sure Dave would appreciate that. And, you know, the people in these other countries who are needing access to clean water will definitely appreciate it. And so, yeah, I encourage you guys to go ahead and do that. But Dave, thank you so much for just taking time to be on the podcast and just sharing so much, one, just information with us about what's going on in the world, and also, two, just for sharing your example and your testimony with us and how you could have just sat by and said, well, somebody should do something about it. But, you know, you actually made a decision and, you know, have made an incredible, I think you said 900 plus people have access to clean drinking water because of just you running and telling people about it. So thank you so much for sharing all of that with us.
Oh, thank you.
The closing song for this episode, Making a Way, is by Aaron Michelle. The Daily Sabbath is a Provision podcast production. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a rating and review and share this episode with someone. You can also check out all of our links in the episode description.
Destiny is calling you out. I'm making a way.